If you are very astute this morning, you are aware that Thursday is Thanksgiving. Let me tell you, as a part of the celebration of Thanksgiving, some of us are going to worship here at 9:30 Thursday morning. We would be delighted to have all of you come and to join us as a family of God at Central Church. We can join our voices and our hearts and our lives to give praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God for the wonder of His blessings in our lives. We invite you to join us Thursday morning at 9:30 for a time of worship. I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. It has been recorded in Psalm 146. This morning, if you are following in the Bibles that you find in your pews, let me tell you that I'm going to be reading from a different translation. The translation I'm reading from is the New King James. So if you are following in the Bibles, you might find it a little different, but you will understand it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. And that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the beginning of Thanksgiving week. It's a time when we pause and in a very special way, we remember who the Lord is and all that He has done for us. You know, as we do that, gratitude wells up within our hearts. And we find ourselves coming together with a united voice as the family of God, giving to Him praise and thanksgiving and honor and glory. To help us do that, one of the good places to go is to the Psalms. If you will read through the Psalms, you will discover that over and over and over, the Psalms remind us of who the Lord is and what He is doing, and He calls us to give praise and thanksgiving, to give gratitude, and to give honor. But you know, in some of the closing Psalms, if you go back to read those, you have some sense that you are walking on a smoldering volcano of praise that is liable to break forth at any moment into the great flames of gratitude to God. For many years, the Metropolitan Opera came to Atlanta, Georgia, the first week of May for an opera season. Gene and I had season tickets. And each year we took that week as vacation and we attended the opera. From our seats we had a good view of the orchestra. I enjoyed watching the conductor controlling the people who were a part of his orchestra. At the close of some mighty music, you could see him bringing every member of the orchestra into action. As that music climbed higher and higher, he would signal to one man after another. And always at his signal, another instrument would respond to the summons until at the last crashing chord, not one was silent, but all were united in a thrilling and triumphant climax. You know, the closing Psalms do that same thing with all of God's creation. Signals to the sun riding in the heavens, you now come in and praise Him. Then to the legions of stars sparkling the heavens, you now praise Him. Then to the mountains raking the cloud with its summits, praise Him. To the kings and the judges of the earth, praise Him. To young manhood and his strength, young maidenhood and her grace and beauty, praise Him. They call until the wide universe is united in praise to God alone. You know, that's what the psalmist meant in our text this morning when he said, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have any being. Let me tell you something. That's real religion. Be sure of the fact when you find true faith, the dominant note will be praise. That's why when you walk down the centuries of Christianity, you find more praise than all of the other religions of the world combined. That's our function as Christians. Our first duty and our last. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you doing that? Have you joined your voice with the mighty chorus of the universe? And are you praising God continually? I want to tell you, if we cannot do that at Thanksgiving, we will never be able to do it at any other time in our lives. Look at your life for a moment. Is praise the dominant note of your life in your relationship with the Lord? Take our prayers, for example. Is praise the keynote there for you? Isn't it true that sometimes our prayers are a kind of an aggravated and peevish protest to God who seems to be managing things so badly for us? How many times do we find ourselves complaining when we should be praising, arguing when we should be submitting, offering self-pity when we should be seeking strength, being ungrateful when we should be giving thanksgiving? You know, in some of the earlier Psalms, you find the psalmist beginning with this complaining, ungrateful attitude. But if you will read through the whole Psalm, you will find invariably that before they finish, they realize what they are doing, they call themselves up short, and they close by giving praise to God. The very center of our prayer life is to be praised. You remember when Jesus taught his disciples to pray? He began by saying, hallowed is your name. There was a day that Isaiah was in the temple and he saw the vision of the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne. And the heavenly host had gathered around and they were singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of your glory. Or the vision that John had of the risen, living Lord Jesus in the throne room of heaven, sitting upon the throne, holding the book of life in his hand, breaking the seals, ruling and reigning in all of his creation. John was so overwhelmed, the only thing he could do was to cry, hallelujah, the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. And when we pause to see the wonder of God's grace, and love and provision, we respond, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Remember, praise is to be the keynote, the beginning, the middle, the end of our prayers. Well, take our hymns and songs. Is praise the keynote there? Sometimes I fear to hear us Christians sing, you would hardly guess it is the most glorious theme in the world we're celebrating. Take some of the great hymns of the church, for example. Hymns like All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Or Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Or take the hymn for all the saints that mounts up to that mighty chorus. But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant arise in bright array. The King of Glory passes on His way. Hallelujah. I don't understand why we are not forced to stand with our souls on tiptoe and with every fiber of our being offer our praise to God. Not any mumbled, self-conscious praise, but with a praise that rings. Alan Gardner was a missionary to India. One day he was discussing with his friends the Hallelujah Chorus, and he exclaimed, man, what an opportunity for a sanctified shout to God. The very foundations of the empires of darkness, declares one of the marching songs of the church, quiver at the shout of praise. Do they really? Do our Christian hymns and songs and the way we sing them make the foundations of the empires of darkness quiver? Never forget that praise is the keynote, the beginning, the middle, and the end of our hymns. But then that's just touching the surface of the matter. For you see, it's not just our prayers and our hymns, but praise is the question of the whole tone of our lives. You see, it is certainly true that there are some people who are more conscious of the darkness than they are of the blue skies. All of us at one time or another will pass through the times of life when we look on the dark side of life rather than the bright. Even Martin Luther, the brave, high-spirited soul he was, cried out one day, "The world's an evil fellow. Let's hope that God will soon end him." All of us will experience a time when the fountains of praise and gratitude have dried up. The question is how to avoid that and to keep a perpetually praising spirit. You see, when the fountains of praise and gratitude dry up, it is in part at least because we have been focusing on the wrong thing. If we constantly look at the dark side of life, if we are always thinking about the disadvantages of life, if we are constantly gazing at the difficulties of life, the most natural thing in the world is to lose all desire and inclination to praise the Lord. It was James Stewart, the noted Scottish preacher, who said, "No man ought to count up his disadvantages until he has added up his blessings." When you look at your life and you believe that your case is harder than any other, the time has come for you to pause to see the wonder of God's blessings in your life and to give praise and thanksgiving to Him. That was the time when David did that. You read about it in Psalm 116. David looked at his life and he began to cry, "The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of hell got hold upon me. I suffered distress and anguish." The more he remembered, the heavier his heart became, and he almost went into depression. But then he stopped and he began to remember all that God had done for him. And he cried out, "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." And then that great affirmation, "You have delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. Praise the Lord." When the low moods of life come, take the New Testament and read it imaginatively. Stand on the shores of Capernaum. Visit the home in Bethany. Look into the eyes of Jesus. Listen to his voice. Take time to walk around by Calvary. Remember the crown of thorns, the print of the nail in his hands, the spear hole in his side. And say to yourself, "All of that is for me." And see if the praise that wells up in your soul does not drive the darkness away. That's what the psalmist meant when he said, "While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have any being." But then the whole lesson has not been learned until we can praise God for everything. For the clouds as well as the sunshine. For the darkness as well as the stars. See, that's one of the great advantages in studying the Scriptures. On page after page, we find those men and women standing at every turn of the road and they have experienced every experience that comes to us in life, and they have responded, "Praise the Lord." They stood over that sick bed and cried, "Praise the Lord." They stood beside that open grave with tears streaming down their faces, crying, "Praise the Lord." They stood beside that worst disappointment, crying, "Praise the Lord." They looked at their shattered dreams and broken hopes and cried, "Praise the Lord." Praise from the depths of our souls. There is one tremendous page of Scripture on which we are shown a saint of God being visited by trouble. One terrible blow after another falls on his head. And when the bitter day that has ruined his life ends, we find Job with set face and clenched hands and bent head, sitting there, muttering to himself, fiercely and almost desperately, "The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away." Over and over again, "The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away." It seemed that Job couldn't get beyond that, until one day there came the fresh revelation of God. And he ended by crying, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Praise from the depths. Victory in the midst of life. Let me tell you, the true test of our Christian faith is how do we react in the face of the dark times of life. It is the risen, living Lord Jesus who gives us a fortitude stronger than any pain, a peace unshaken by any assault of doubt, a joy that rings through the blinding tears of defeated dreams and bitter disappointments. And it is only through the living Lord Jesus that we have that victory in our lives. And that victory will only come when we stand in awe and wonder and respect before Him. When we rivet our eyes upon Him, then we ask Him to remind us of the wonder of His grace and love and provision. And then with our hand in His, we can join our voice with the mighty chorus of the universe. We can sing, "While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have any being." Can you do that this morning? Can you look into your life and all of the darkness and all of the disappointments and all of the discouragements with the heaviness of your heart? Ask the Lord to reveal to you the wonder of His love and of His grace and of His provision. And as that revelation becomes clear to you, allow the praise and the gratitude that wells up from the depth of your heart to come forth in wonder before Him. We have a Heavenly Father. He knows our name. He knows where we live. He knows the circumstances of our lives. And He comes to meet us in love and in grace and in provision and in power. We respond by glorifying and magnifying His name and giving Him the praise that only He can receive. God grant that we do that this week.